and wanted to mention today. So I'm gonna. We've been kind of in that in Judges chapter 6 and talking. We've been hitting Gideon, but then the Lord's been kind of taking me some other directions with that. And so today, the title of my message, amen, it will be called "Be Strengthened." Be strengthened. And so the Lord just says, as in seeking Him and the Word of God, just different things. And how about you never had things come against you? Yeah. And just the Lord just speaking to my heart and reminding me that no matter what we're going through, He wants us to be strengthened. Matter of fact, the Lord showed me that some of the most difficult times of a person's life is when you have an opportunity for the Lord to really reveal who He is to you. Matter of fact, very difficult times, and where the Lord had shown me, and I'll mention this today, and I'll just go off a little bit, off track a little bit on this, but Jeremiah 33:3 is, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not." Well, let me just say, at that time when God spoke that to Jeremiah, he was in prison. What was he in prison for? For speaking what God gave him to speak during that time. And so you would think Jeremiah would like to hear things like this: "Hey, you're going to be out of prison tomorrow." The Lord didn't say that to him. "Hey, this situation that you find yourself in, this struggle, this thing that's coming against you, hey, this is going to be over tomorrow." No, that's not what the Lord said to him. The Lord said, "Hey, call to me right where you're at. He was saying, "Jeremiah, right where you're at, right in this situation that he was at, that he's like, I imagine he's like, "Lord, you told me to say these things, to prophesy these things, and the things that I'm prophesying are coming to pass 100%, Lord. I'm hearing directly from you. What do I get for it? My fellow Israelites throw me in prison for what I was saying." And so, but the Lord, what did the Lord say to him? What he was saying is, "Jeremiah, I know where you're at, but call to me. There's some amazing things that I want to show you, Jeremiah, that will bring strength to you right in your situation, right where you are at." And when the Lord began to reveal that to me, just it began to say, "Lord, it doesn't matter what maybe has happened in my life the last few years or the struggles or things that might come against you." Amen. Come against your, could be coming against the country, coming against your where you live, things coming against where you live, against your family, even your marriage, your home, things that come against us that might bring us into a very desperate situation in some cases or make things uncomfortable. I'm finding out that's where God says, "Hey, that's where I want to speak to you with some amazing things." Amen. But sometimes when we talk to ourselves, or I'll talk to people, or maybe when I talk to people, all I am is complaining about the situation I'm in. And when is this going to be over? When is this going to change? And the Lord has said, "Hey, I want you to look at this differently. I want you to look at this biblically. I want you to look at this the way I see it." And I said, and so when the Lord spoke that to me, I'm saying, "Lord, thank you. I don't care what's going on around me. I can only control me, myself, and I," right? There's three people you can control, right? Me, myself, and I. And said, "So Lord, I can't control things completely. But what I can do is I can hear from you. I believe that God wants to speak to his people in America, his church in America, like he's never spoke to them before. Individuals, not just some guy behind a pulpit. I believe in pastors and teachers as biblical, but that doesn't mean that you don't get to hear from him. Doesn't mean that God doesn't want to lead and direct you. It's contrary. God wants to speak to us and reveal himself in a mighty great way, regardless of your vocation, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of your age, regardless of your education or uneducation, right? No matter what you've been through. Amen. God wants to speak to his people. And I think that is amazing. The thing is, do we want to hear him? Amen. Are we looking to hear his voice? Because I've come to realize that hearing his voice and a revelation as I try to get into this is something that brings absolute strength to my life. Amen. Strength to my life in this day, in this age, where recently we've seen some major, and it's sad. I'm not here to, it's sad, some major, a few, it's just in a short period of time, some of the bigger, well-known ministries in America having some real struggles and crumbling. Things going on behind the scene, character issues and struggles. things going on. What is, I think, that God is might be saying, man? It says God is saying, man, I'm wanting to do a deep work in people. My character matters most. Walking in my character matters most. And I think when God's doing some things, I think we're coming to a time where God's going to definitely be pouring out his spirit. But I think he's tweaking and changing and cleansing and directing some things so that when God begins to do some things, his people can run with it and go with it with some maturity. Amen? You can operate in where God can operate, people can operate in God's power and not to have to turn it into, an example, a worldwide ministry. God doing something in your life and all of a sudden saying, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, or God beginning to use you and all of a sudden, okay, I've got to have this title. No, but just being people in their day-to-day walk in life, being used by God because he lives in them and because God has grown them up in character, amen? Not looking to have to be anything necessarily. God will raise up and put us in the places that he wants you and I. But let me just say this. He wants to use us and flow through us and walk in his mercy, his grace, and his power, and his strength right where we're at. And so in Judges 6, 14 through 16. So remember, as we're talking about Gideon. Gideon, right? And we know the Midianites for the past, I think it was 8 years, had been actually destroying the country of Israel. Every year, remember, sometime back I talked about it, every year they'd come in and steal all the crops, everything that had been planted. Everything, all the sheep, all the goats, everything, all the herds, everything they had, the Midianites came in and took it and stole it. And what did the Israelites do? They would go and hide. They were hiding. And so finally, this is where Gideon was. He was hiding. He was trying to thresh some wheat just so he could have some food. And so he was kind of hiding, and the Lord appeared to him and told him he was going to use him to lead Israel out of that. And Gideon, as I was looking at it, really is a type of believer, you and I. Because you're going to see as we move through this story quite slowly, I can see, is we're going to see that Gideon was he was nobody special at all. He was very average, very, very low in average on the scale, if you want to do that, as far as somebody that you would look at and say, yeah, I think God could use that individual. So this is what the Lord said to him. It says, and the Lord looked at him, that's Gideon, and said, go in this strength of yours, and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? He says, have I not sent you? Go in in your strength that I'm giving you. But he said to him, this was Gideon's rebuttal to this. He says to him, oh Lord, how am I to save Israel? He says, you're talking to me. How am I to save Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest of my father's house. He says, how am I going to save? I'm the least. There's nothing that you could see in me, Lord, could you, that you could use me for your glory? After all, I'm no different than anybody else in my country. I'm hiding, trying to get a little food, so when Midianites come in and steal everything, I've got enough to live on until they come back again next year. But he says, how are you going to do, Lord? I'm the least. And you know, comparing yourself to others is the biggest trap you can fall into. Did you know that? Because you compare yourself after the natural, who we are in the natural. And so that's what Gideon began to do. He said, hey, look, you can see, you're talking to me, Lord. You sure it's going to be me? Because look at the family I come from. We're not known at all. Nobody knows us. And on top of that, in the society that he lived in, I'm the youngest, right? I'm the youngest, so not only from a family that doesn't have anything to offer that I can see, but I'm also the youngest of that family. And so he was comparing himself. You know, I had this opportunity to go speak with my son at a youth group on Father's Day down in Surprise. And the biggest thing as I was speaking to him, as I began to understand as this youth group was beginning to grow and get bigger, was as kids that maybe had struggled from a background, maybe, I don't know how they were raised, in abuse or whatever, but comparing themselves to maybe other kids that seemed to have it made, beginning to compare themselves in the natural. And so when I began to speak about things that I've talked about here all the time, about you and I being adopted, amen? I am a child of Abraham. I may not be a Jewish in any way, shape, or form, but Paul says in Romans 4 and 5 that I've been adopted into his family by faith, that now Abraham is my father. And so trying to encourage those kids that, hey, actually, maybe if you look at it what God would look at it is, maybe because of the situation you feel your weakness and you don't feel like you have much to offer, but that actually God would love to use you mightily because the ground at the cross is even. So seeing that, comparing ourselves to others. And see, that's what Gideon began to do, is compare himself to other families. You know, Galatians 6, 3 through 3 and 4, Paul kind of says it straightforward. I've read this before. Can I just read it again? It says, "For if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing," well, that's kind of harsh. This is Paul. He's an amazing apostle, amen, the apostle of grace. But he says, if anyone thinks that he is something when he is nothing, it says he deceives himself. He deceives himself. But it says, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting, but to himself alone and not to another. So what was he saying? Was he saying, hey, you're nothing? No, what he was saying, in your own strength, in your own ability, in what you can see or what you have to offer in the natural, it's nothing in the sight of God compared to what he wants to do through you spiritually in the supernatural, of revealing who he is through you and using you for his glory. Amen. You know, number one point is insignificance is God's preference. In God's preference. I have to understand this. This doesn't mean, God, that you have to be some, can I say it this way? How should I say this? A buffoon in the eyes of the world for God to use you. What he's talking about here is what we're putting our trust in. See, ignis insignificance is God's preference. Not putting yourself down, but realizing that, hey, God, if I'm going to be used, if I'm going to accomplish things that you might put in my heart, things that you place within me, it's going to have to come from you. Your ability and your strength. That's exactly why Gideon said, you know who you're talking to here, right, God? You sure you don't have the wrong address? You sure you didn't show up the wrong place? Because I'm hiding like everybody else. I'm not doing anything special. But God says, go in the strength of yours and save Israel. You know, insignificance is, I say that because the world abhors it. I want to give you some examples. You know, politicians have to boast in all their amazing abilities, right? They do. They have to convince you, I am the man for this job. They have to boast. They got to tell you how wonderful they are and why you need to vote for them. They have to tell you about all their accomplishments. And we see the stress and the stress of that even sometimes, if you've heard through the past, I can't think of anybody, who might elaborate things that they've done. And even in some cases, they found out, I can't remember, it was a congressman or somebody was talking about how he had some kind of, you know, he got some kind of star honoring. I'm trying to think of the term, but he was in the military, Bronze Star or something like that. And anyway, they find out that, well, no, you weren't there at all. This what you said was actually made up. Well, what was the thing is him wanting to obtain a position so badly that he felt like he had to elevate himself beyond really what he was. And so in the world today, if you're obviously, you wouldn't be like what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians as an apostle. He says, I'd rather boast in my weaknesses that God's power would remain on me. But could you imagine a commercial for a politician telling them about all their weaknesses, all their struggles? Amen. All the things that they've been through. People in the world would say, I don't want to vote for him. Could you imagine Abraham Lincoln with a commercial now saying, okay, I've had bankruptcy once. I had to close my law firm. It didn't work out. I've ran 5, 6, or 7 times and I've lost all of them. But he says, but I've got this desire and this dream that I can change America. See, it was because of all his weaknesses that he had endured, that he'd gone through, the things that he had learned, that he never gave up. I know God was doing something powerful in the inside of Abraham Lincoln. Just read his speeches. Read the things that he has said. That he didn't let all those things that he went through that were so weak that would make him seem unqualified. Actually, God used those things to qualify him. Amen. Think about Joseph. As I think about Joseph, his 13 years, amen, as he is in, he's a slave, and then he's in prison, amen. And then could you think of him if he was turning in a resume, amen, to become in second position in all of Egypt before Pharaoh, if Pharaoh would say, hey, can I see your resume? Well, I was the head of somebody's household for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, and then they accused me of rape, and it didn't happen. They accused me of rape, and then they threw me in prison. And now I've been in prison 5 years. But the guy, the head guard here, can vouch for me. I'm a good guy. See, it had nothing to do with his resume, but it had everything to do with what seemed to be in weakness, God preparing him and God speaking to him. Wherever you are, whatever situation you are right now, as I ask the Lord to help me to communicate this, this is a situation wherever you are that God says, hey, I would like to speak to you and reveal myself to you in a brand new way. As I said, when Jeremiah said, man, get me out of this prison, God said, I'll get you out tomorrow. That struggle, that thing you're facing, man, it's going to be done tomorrow. No, that's not what God said. What God said is, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you knowest not. It's amazing, the revelation of the things that God wants to reveal to us. But my question is, are we at a place where we're willing to hear afresh and anew with new ears what God would want to speak to you right where you're at today. Amen. Insignificance of the world. Amen. Or how about the author of a book and the preface by somebody else well known, talking about how wonderful this person is and why you should read this book. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that as far as God speaking or using you don't need that. Or how about a Bible? This is the one that I find interesting, and I've had to do a few times, is that how about a bio? You have to give all your credentials, right? And me and a group in starting Community Circle and other boards I've been a part of, you have to give your credentials. You got to say how wonderful you are. And it feels funny writing that up. Let me tell you why I'm so wonderful. Look at all these things that I have accomplished and why you should give to this nonprofit, right? It's interesting. I'll tell them myself. I'm part of this board in Prescott, and I go there, and there's just like all these like multi-millionaires, and I'm thinking to myself, why am I here? Why am I here? And what happens when we don't realize God puts us in places we don't really deserve, and we become insecure. You know what happens when we become insecure is then we feel like we have to prove ourselves. And usually that'll be by talking or saying things, right? And so telling on myself, there's this group of guys, and I'm feeling insecure, and we're talking about something, and all of a sudden I just go on this, like, I don't know, five, six, seven, it seemed like forever, rant of all the things that I've accomplished. And when I got done, I remember this guy sitting there looking at me, he's like, okay. I realized right then what I had done. But because of my insecurity, I felt like that being with those group of people, I had to say, hey, I belong here maybe. Not really, but can I convince you guys that I belong here? And so what I realized after that, and really kind of embarrassing myself, and these guys are gracious to me. They still talk to me. I still go to these board meetings. But this is the thing, as I've gone more and more to these board meetings, as God is growing me, I'm feeling more comfortable. I'm feeling that, hey, man, I have some input. I'm making some friendships with some people that thought, what am I doing here? See, and this is the thing I realized is God said, hey, I put you here. You don't have to prove with anything. Just be humble and serve. So see, sometimes, what is my point is, with all these things we hear in the world is we have to brag about what we've accomplished or why we belong where we're at. You know, even ministers feel like they have to boast in what God's done to them, their dreams and visions and so forth. But let me just say this, is what God has been speaking to me, that right in the middle, you might be in a hardship where it's easy to maybe look at what somebody else has accomplished or why am I in this position. This is a place where God wants to speak right where you're at, speak to you with revelation, revealing who he is, revealing his goodness, revealing the power of God inside of you, showing you great and mighty things. Even Moses, all the things that he did coming through the Red Sea and all those things and all the powerful gifts that he displayed, what did he say to God? He says, man, if I have found favor in your sight, show me your ways. Show me your ways. Lord, I've seen all these wonderful, spectacular displays of power. But he says, man, I want to know your character. He's basically saying, Lord, what are you like around a coffee table? Lord, what are you like around a dinner table? Lord, what do you like in person just speaking to my heart? And see, that's where Jesus says, man, I am humble in spirit. Man, I'm humble in spirit. And so these things that where the world says, hey, you've got to prove your insignificance. The world abhors hearing about weaknesses. Amen. Here's what God thinks is, you still out there? Yeah. It is like cricket quiet. Wave to me if you're still awake. I don't know about that. Okay, some of you had to wake up. Wake up! So Jeremiah 9, this is talking about what God, a heart that God, when he says, hey man, I'm looking for somebody I can fellowship with. I'm looking for people that I can use and know, tell him what kind of way. Jeremiah 9:23-24, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. But let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me. Do you know the Lord today? Do you know him? Do you want to know him in a deeper capacity? That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love. Lord, I want to know more about your steadfast love. Lord, I want to know about that steadfast love that strengthens me day by day by day. Lord, I want to understand and believe in that steadfast love that maybe I didn't experience growing up, or maybe you feel like on the job or whatever your hopes and dreams are right now, you're like, Lord, I'm not experiencing that. May I say that these are the times where Lord wants to reveal his steadfast love to you more than ever. More than ever. Who practices steadfast love and justice. Lord, I want to walk basically in truth. Lord, I want to walk in your truth. It's a justice to know, Lord, I don't deserve to have you reveal the things that you're revealing to me, showing me your ways and teaching me your paths. I don't deserve that, but because of the blood of Jesus, because of what the finished work of the cross, that not only you live in me, but you're talking to me and leading me and guiding me and showing me great and mighty things if I want to hear him or listen to it. His justice and righteousness in the earth. Lord, thank you for revealing the righteousness. Lord, I want to know more about your righteousness. Amen. I know that he's my righteousness, but I feel like I just know a little bit about that righteousness, so little. Lord, would you reveal to me your righteousness? Would you show me your truths and what your righteousness means so that I can grow in you and grow in strength and confidence in you? Lord, would you show me those things? So I want to be able to boast and say, Lord, I thank you, Lord. You're showing me your things about your love. Thank you, Lord, that your righteousness is my righteousness. Thank you for revealing who you are to me. It says, and then it goes on, for in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So what is it saying, Lord? It says, Lord, the things that you delight in, I want to delight in. Lord, the things that matter to you, I want them to matter to me. Amen. Those things, Father God, in the middle, this, I can tell you this, even in the middle of the struggle or pain in an area of your life, man, I've learned this, that God has been speaking to me like never before. I'm saying, Lord, I've got this struggle here. I've got this going on or this that keeps coming against me. Amen. But the Lord just says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. See, this is one thing I've come to realize. Jesus knows what, he's the one who knows what will really satisfy our souls. He knows what will really satisfy our souls in his presence and understanding, in his wisdom, his strength, and a revelation of Jesus Christ. So he says, go in your strength. Number one, we had insignificance is God's preference. Number two, insignificance the world abhors. You agree with that? And then he says, go in your strength. And the Lord looked at him and said, go in this strength of yours, and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? We know that he said his response was, I'm the least. Amen. So let me ask you, some simple things. Where does the strength come from? Where does exactly the strength come from? And it's always, can I just say, I'm learning, it's always in the simplicity of the gospel. You know, I've learned through the years that when it becomes difficult or if it's too complex, it's probably not God. God in his grace and his mercy, he keeps it simple for us. The creator of heaven and earth, amen? Yet for you and I and our relationship with him, it's really simple. Let me read this as God took me to this, Romans 16, 25 through 27. Romans 16 in the ESV version. Romans 16. This is the last chapter of Romans. These are the last verses of the book of Romans. And Paul says, now to him who is able to strengthen you. Can you say strengthen? Because when the Lord showed this to me in this beginning of this week, there were some areas, Lord, that I needed his strength. And he's so faithful. See, I didn't even know I needed his strength. You can have some, the Lord is so wonderful that he knows what I need. And so, as I'm seeking him in his word, because that's what I like to do is ponder and read his word. And the Lord spoke to me, he said, go to Romans 16. And then the Lord just showed me this, And I realized, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for strengthening me in some struggle. So now to him who's able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. I've been talking about that revelation, a revealing of God, revealing and touching heart, revealing his love for you, revealing his power in your inner man. You know, when I've come to realize, when he's revealing himself to me, let's put it this way, if I'm sitting around the coffee table with God, he's speaking to me, amen. This is what I've come to realize he's revealing to me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. That's from Galatians 5. That's who our God is. That's who he is. Those things, those wonderful characters of who God is. If I'm around the table, he begins to show me those things. He begins to show me, wow. Amen. It's called a personal relationship. He's nothing like the world. He's nothing like the character of the world. He's nothing like those that maybe have hurt us. He's nothing like those situations that we might find that are a struggle. During those times, he wants to sit down. What happened? What does he say in Revelation? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking to believers there. He's not talking to unbelievers. He says, if you open the door, let me in. I'll come in. What he says, I'll sup with you. I'll sup with you. He says, I'll show you who I am. Our relationship, we reveal who he is. And this is what I'm realizing, when he reveals who he is to me, that's when I really become who he is. Unless he reveals it to me, it's just an idea. God is good, but do I know anything about his goodness? God is gracious, but do I really know anything about his gracious? Or is it a word graciousness, but it's really not anything that I've obtained in my soul and spirit, ma'am, because I haven't supped with him around the table. And he says, let me show you and teach you. Then you can feel him just reveal. Wow, God. Wow, I knew of your kindness, but you just revealed to me by your Holy Spirit. You just, something exploded inside of me, and you just showed me what your kindness is. And then when he shows that to you, then that becomes yours. It's not something that's just an ideal, right? God is kind, and then we have a whole different, we can have all these ideals what kind is. But when God reveals it to you by revelation, then you say, wow. That's kindness. Lord, thank you for showing that to me. Lord, thank you for all of us, your people, coming around the coffee tables or the dining tables of our lives and saying, Lord, can I sit with you? Can I get to know you in a different way? That's what, going back to Moses, say, man, I saw your power. I saw you open the Red Sea. I saw you do this miracle and that miracle. He says, but can I really know who you are? Moses was who? He was the humblest man on earth. And what's very interesting is that, guess who wrote that? Moses. But you know what? It was God showing him. God showing him. Moses, you're the humblest cat on the earth. That's pretty amazing. That's God revealing himself to him. Let me just say a few things there. He says, where does the strength come from? According to my gospel. The power of the gospel. I always come back to the things of saying, Lord, thank you that you took my sins upon the cross. And Lord, I'm not going to hear this voice or listen to this voice that's coming against me. Thank you that you paid the price. I can't pay the price. The power of the gospel. Amen. For I'm not ashamed, what did Paul say? For I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel. We'll get to that in just a second. So according to my gospel. What's the second thing he says? He says, how can you have strength? He said, according to my gospel. And he said, of the preaching of the gospel. So as bad or good as job as I'm doing today, I'm trying to reveal what God gave me to give to you. And I'm praying that somehow by his Holy Spirit that it's hitting different hearts where God wants to encourage you when you leave here and say, hey, Lord, no matter what's going on, would you begin to show me your goodness and your grace? See, Jeremiah could have said, no, God, I don't think you're very kind because you look at me, I've done what you wanted me to, and I'm here in prison. I don't want to hear nothing from you until you get me out of this prison. You know, we can be in certain situations in our life. That's how we answer God. I'm not going to listen to you until you get me out of this situation. But here's what the God says. He says, right in the middle of that situation, he wants to reveal himself to you. Right in the middle of uncomfortableness. Right in the middle when we think, man, if I only had this, Lord, I would be complete. No, you're only complete in Jesus Christ. What is the whole portion of that? He was wanting to show Jeremiah. He's wanting to show Jeremiah, I'm enough, buddy. I'm enough. What I want to show you and reveal to you is more than enough. So A, it was according to my gospel, preaching of the word. And then it says here, the revelation of the mystery. What is the mystery about Jesus Christ? How does revelation come to you? Revelation, the word revelation, is something being unveiled and shown to you. So when we read the Word of God, are you reading the Word of God saying, hey, Lord, let me find something, a do and don't, something to add to my life. Thou shalt not. Okay, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to try hard. Okay. Lord, show me three things that you can show me that I can be a better husband or wife. This is what I've come to realize. Those are all, when you do those things, those are all things that you have to maintain because it's something you're trying to do in your own strength and flesh. Remember one time me and my wife left a marriage conference, and I just felt like it would say, hey, if you'll do these things, you have a great marriage. And as soon as we left there, I said, hon, we've been married long. We've tried that before. We can't do that. Pray 20 minutes every day, do it, show them, read this one, just with the gummy. And then the next thing you know, you try to do that, you're just really tired, and then you're at each other's throat more than ever. This is what I've come to realize. Jesus, thank you for showing me. showing me by revelation how precious my wife is to you. And because you've shown me how precious she is, I treat her with honor and respect. And now the things that I think that she should be doing to help take care of me. Can we be frank? Flip it on the other side? Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't even go there. But as Lord reveals his fruit of his spirit, how precious my wife is in his sight, and how Paul compares the church and Jesus to the husband and wife, as God reveals that to me, it becomes who I am. Now I'm not trying to earn God some kind of knowledge of, okay, Lord, if I'll pray and do this 20 minutes, then maybe I'll start treating her better. No, it's a revelation. God reveals to me how precious my wife is. And then it becomes who I am, and then I just be that way with her. And then when the enemy comes and says, hey, yeah, but she's not really taking care of you today, I tell the enemy, shut up and get out of here. I won't listen to your voice again. Because God has given me a revelation in my heart of my wife and how precious she is. And God will do that in many different ways. God will put you in situations. One time I had this partner in business, and we had this great business. And then we had this employee, though, that I didn't think worked very hard. Well, she didn't work very hard. But for some reason, my partner, he was older than me, so he's kind of the senior in the business and the structure of it. He says, I want to keep her. I said, I don't. And he says, well, we're going to keep her. And this gal knew I wanted to fire her. And she knew I couldn't. You know, we start at 9. She would come in maybe 9:05 and then, you know, coffee and do all these different things. So the time she got started, it's like 9:30. And she knew it drove me nuts. She knew it. She thought, you know, okay, you know, I got an hour lunch. I'll see you in an hour and a half. Okay, I get off at 5, but, you know, I'm leaving at 4:30. And smile at me on her way out. And through those things, it's amazing as I was going through that. I said, Lord, there's nothing I can do here. So I just began to pray for this gal. I began to pray for this gal, and I began to pray for this gal. And I tell you what, I began to see her as the Lord saw her. It was, Lord, she's a more important individual than just the money I felt like she was stealing from me. But Lord, how precious she was in your sight. Amen. It was amazing. After a year, I'm going to tell you, she couldn't stand my partner, and she loved me. She began to work harder. She began to do what she could to help me. When she left there, I gave her, Chad, can you give me a recommendation? Absolutely. I'll give you the best recommendation there is. What did the God show me? He says, would you start looking at people and looking at things like I see them? Amen. And I couldn't believe it. My partner, I don't know what happened. She's like, I don't care for that guy, but Chad, I love you. And what it is, I changed my attitude, and I started praying for her. I said, Lord, I want to sit around the table, the dining room table with you, Lord. And I want to have a heart for you, Lord. Share with me what you think of her, how much you love her. Amen. That's called revelation. So something that was a torment to me, by God revealing something to me, became a great joy. And so for many years after that, I kept in touch with her, and I would give her, God turned those things around. Amen? Now, if I wasn't willing to listen, I could have done all kinds of different things, destroyed that partnership. I would never have learned that lesson, because I would have acted out of what I thought the world says. No, you got to do it this way. But God says, no, let me show you something. Let me reveal something to you. When you're in a struggle, whatever struggle you might be in right now, this is what I've come to realize. Allow the Lord to speak to you and minister to you and show you amazing things about himself. That's what he wants to do. But if you're okay on just doing it yourself, for many years I was okay being the man and just doing things on my own ability. But eventually that leaves somebody dry and empty. Amen. And then you're finally, then you're ready to say, hey, Lord, I think I'm willing to hear about a different way. And so maybe there's some people here today that are saying in their hearts, the Lord speaking to you, saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to adjust some things here, and I'm going to allow you to speak to me in a different way in the middle of the struggle, the middle of things that are going on. I've known of people, you could be struggling with addiction right now, but if you'll seek the Lord, amen, he wants to reveal some things to you that he may want to reveal and heal, and then you can let that go. But the religion says, no, toughen up, let go of that thing, then God will accept you. But this is what I'm saying. No, come to know how much he loves you and cares for you and reveal himself to you, and then you'll willingly let that go, because you don't want anything standing in the way of your relationship with him. As you're around the coffee table with him, as he begins to reveal how much he loves and cares for you, then those things that you're facing that are coming against you, regardless of what's going on in Washington, regardless of this or that, God will be speaking to you and strengthening and revealing himself to you, so that you'll have a confidence in him, regardless of where you're at, behind a pulpit or back over here in children's church. You'll be in joy and strength and peace, and he'll be taking care of you, and he'll be leading and guiding you. That's good news. As the piano player comes, please. This is where God does these things. God, Christ wants to strengthen you on the job, in your bed, in your car, when reading his word, when worshiping, in the middle of the trial of your life. You know, I got a brother that he's not here, and he's in a different state and really going through a very hard time. And as I've been ministering with him, it's amazing when you help people, the things that God will show you that's beneficial to you. And as he's going through a painful time, and nothing he can do about it right now, the Lord is just beginning to show him things that he wants to change in his life. The Lord is beginning to reveal his goodness to him in the middle of this pain. I don't know when this situation will change for this brother, but I know that he's changing his thinking, and he's pursuing the Lord, and he's saying, Lord, this is what he's doing. He's saying, Lord, can we sit around the dining room table? Can you show me some things? Can you bring some peace? Lord, can you strengthen me? See, I think this is what I think. I think, and this is what the Lord is wanting to do. This is what I believe, what I feel the Lord has shown me for me and for his church. Amen. I'm doing a deep scrubbing on the inside. And you know how that happens? It's him revealing himself to you, who he is, how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he wants to show you who he is in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the struggle. Like Jeremiah, I'm going to say this again, I'm going to read this again, Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know us not. What was the revelation the Lord showed me? I'm going to say it again. He was in prison. I mean, he was in a tough situation. But sometimes, this is what I've come to realize in tough situations, is when I'll press into him, he'll show me things about himself and give me wisdom and strength and peace, so that no matter what's going on around me, I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on him, and he's leading me and guiding me. Amen. He's showing me his way. It's like when Jesus, remember when they saw Jesus walking on the water, and they got terrified. They brought him in the boat. And what did he say? He says, did you not learn anything when you saw my provision for feeding the 5,000? Did you not learn anything? And it said it was because their hearts were hard. So I've learned this with a heart that's hard. Is this what I do? I say, Lord, regardless how I feel, I'm going to press into you. I'm going to thank you for your goodness. I'm going to thank you for your strength and your peace. I'm going to give all things over to you, Lord, and you're going to lead and guide me and show me great and marvelous things. Here's the thing. God just doesn't want to show up in church and and just a corporate, that's what's awesome, a corporate, you know, power, that's awesome. But God wants to show up in his power and his wisdom and revelation everywhere we go as we press into him.
Yes.
So I'm going to say this one more time, but it's the revelation God gave me. So this is what I'm saying to him constantly. Lord, show me great and mighty things which I know not. Show me, Lord, show me things about yourself. And what to do? It brings peace, it brings strength, and it brings confidence. Amen. You love him this morning? Can you stand with me? I'm going to jump a couple times. Sorry, I have to do that sometimes. Like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for revelation, Father. Thank you for sitting around the dining room table of our lives, Father God, revealing yourself to us in great wonder and power of God, strengthening us, encouraging us, Father God. Thank you, Father, as we learn your character, Father, we thank you that even some of these areas, Father God, that we might be struggling with, amen. Father, we thank you as you reveal yourself that depression is broken in Jesus' name. Many people might have been getting prayer for depression, but maybe the Lord is saying, man, I want to show you who I am. The key is that your confidence be in me. Let me tweak and change that thing by revealing myself to you, and then that will be broken. How about anxiety? Saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing yourself, your character, who you are to me, and then that anxiety will be broken. Father, as you begin to reveal those things, Father, all the things that are holding me down will begin to peel off like layers of an onion. They'll start peeling off and peeling off and peeling off and peeling off, getting down to those things that God wants to deal with at the root. We just keep pressing forward. I don't care how hard it is. This is what I've had to learn over the last few years. I don't care the struggle I'm having right now. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going forward in you, Father, pursuing you, pursuing your love, pursuing your strength and your peace. And Lord, show me great and wonderful things which I knoweth not. And it is worth it to keep going forward. So Father, with that, we thank you and we praise you. We worship you. We honor you, Lord. We thank you for your mighty power. Father, we thank you for the, Lord, the word of God affecting every heart here in a powerful word. Father God, your word says in Isaiah chapter 55 that your word shall go forth and it shall accomplish what you desire, Father God. So we pray, Father, this morning that you will accomplish exactly what you desire, Father God. The word of God also says that my word is like a hammer breaking through things that would hold us back. It also says your word is like a fire cleansing. Amen. Also says that my word is like water washing over and cleansing and healing and delivering. So we declare that today, Father God, in your house. And we love you and we praise you. And we, Father God, we thank you there'll be an excitement to begin to stir in your people's hearts. Amen. On the job, at home, wherever they're at, whatever the situation, Lord, we just pray that an excitement began to stir in our lives. And with that, we love you and we praise you. Amen.